Here's a quarter to spend on 25 years worth of memories with the Ticket Guys. Holding forth now on a special silver anniversary roundtable from Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Tick.
All right, it is a couple minutes before 1 o'clock. This is the Bob and Dan radio program. Featuring Jake, Julie, Mino. And what we are about to do now is what the Ticket has been doing periodically and will do periodically throughout the year is highlight some of the top moments in the 25-year Ticket history. And this was voted on by the P1, and this is one of the very highly ranking moments where our people behind the scenes are trying to determine exactly which number this got. I know it's top 10.
Like, anyone can even know that.
Probably one.
It is it is Scoops Callahan, which is not one moment, but it's many, many moments. It is a Ticket bit of legendary proportions. And here in studio is Scoops Callahan himself, 1920s reporter guy, Tom Gribble.
Wow. Look at him.
And Bob and Dan. Only one for Dances with Wolves.
That's right.
For his weekly visit.
Where have you been?
Just down the hall, actually.
How about that?
That's right. So you are at ESPN Radio now.
I ran into you in the bathroom yesterday.
Yeah, you did. You did. We had small talk about Philadelphia or something, but you were just on this show like 2 weeks ago.
It's unbelievable.
That's awesome.
1920s reporter guy. Now, Tom, when he was producing the show for many years, was so up for bits, it's insane, right? I mean, you came, your history was the Kid Craddock morning show where they just used to kick you in the groin all the time.
Sure.
And
it's Flake Boy. Bumper
Flake
dumper.
Boy, and Tom was, like I said, so up for bits. Bob, I believe, one day shot golf balls at you.
Oh, he concussed me. He
while you were
me right in the head.
While you were wearing like a some kind of a
trash
shield
can?
Of armor, yeah.
He easily has the most courage of anyone that's ever been on this show.
I
hope I'm not saying anything controversial here, but I'm not even sure who's close.
Yeah, he would do bits when we went on the road. Well, anyway, the bit is 1920s reporter guy, and it's basically a guy talking like he's a 1920s reporter with a press thing in his hat. And anyway, how did
this happen?
How did this start? And then we're going to play the first one.
Well, you mentioned my time with Kid Craddock. Well, you go back to 99, and I'm working with Kid, and the Rangers make the playoffs. This is a big deal in town. And we're talking about bits. And this idea pops up in the middle of this meeting about, well, let's do something with players. Well, what could we do that's funny with players? Well, we don't want to do that same old question, stuff like that. How do we make that funny? And so this whole idea came up about, what about an old-time reporter that talks to the players? And we laughed about it and then immediately shot it down because we just didn't think that the audience was going to embrace it. It was too over the top for that audience.
And I remember when we were talking about it, we thought it required a visual, and then we got over that. But at first, it was like, well, how would this even work? You'd have to have a trench coat and a press hat and all that.
Right.
And then we learned that would actually be the worst possible thing, because that would basically be a warning signal to any PR person.
Like, what's up with this guy?
That a bit's about to happen.
Right, yeah. People have asked me, why don't you video yourself dressed in the part with the fedora?
Because you can't.
Like that, yeah. That immediately something, everybody knows, okay, this guy's up to something. Let's pull him aside. As you know, Dan, dressed as a knight, go talk to the Nashville Predators. It doesn't work.
They were pretty sure the second a knight walked into their room that something was about to happen.
Yeah, you want to stay undercover, and Tom is a great undercover dude. Does not look like he's out to harm anyone.
Now, he's courageous. He has defended this country, as he's told us many times, and we are very proud of. But it also wasn't really easy for you to do in terms of mustering up the courage at the time, was it?
This is brutal. It's still not. It's still not easy. It's brutal because you've got this confrontation, especially the times that I do it.
Like, you know, confrontation will happen, most likely.
Oh, it's going to be bad. Yeah. It's going to be terrible, especially if the team has lost. And this player, nobody's happy.
That's the big deal, yeah.
Everybody acts like the world has come to an end.
Right.
And, you know, you're not going to get anybody to laugh. It's going to be terrible. And the media rep is going to be on your butt about it as well. Yeah. So it's going to be
arguably the most famous one ever, the guy had just won a golf tournament.
Yes, I was very lucky.
And that's a very jovial, fun exchange that kind of changed Mickelson, to me, in my mind. It changed my perception of him at the time.
Also, it changed my perception of whether Tom drinks on the job.
I clearly did.
If you didn't know with Merry Christmas, Philadelphia, then you certainly found out. But let's go back to the first one ever is, I have it written as October 2005.
Right. Okay.
If you can believe that, Bob.
I had no idea when we first did it. Yeah.
Do you remember why you chose, and I believe I was in the press box with you before you did this, and then I was going down to do a post-game show after, why you chose was it Phoenix?
Yeah.
He was Arizona?
Wayne Gretzky was the head coach of the Phoenix Coyotes. And I decided just on a whim, because we'd all given a kind of assignment. We got to come up with some more bits.
Yeah.
And I remembered that old idea.
We're dying here.
I got to come up with something. And I decided, you know what? I remember that old bit. And then so I mulled it all out, kind of worked out the name and the approach and exactly the lingo and exactly all the details that go with it. And then I saw on the calendar, here comes Wayne Gretzky into town. I was like, well, if you're going to do it, let's go big.
Let's get a big name.
Right. I remember you guys were surprised I was even there. Like, why are you in the press box? Why are you here?
This is a very uncomfortable scene, too, because if you know anything about hockey in Dallas, it's not like hockey in Montreal, or it's not like a Cowboys post-game scene. There's like maybe two reporters.
Right.
Right.
Talking to a coach after the game in the bowels. It's not a press conference scene. It's just standing in the middle of the hallway.
And may I offer...
It's like Heike and whatever young first-year person at the Star-Telegram. You know, they always... That's your first assignment. If you want to work your way up to something, you can. But
I think it should also be...
Stars.
I think there's two more points of context here that are really important before we play the Wayne Gretzky audio. One... The NHL's coming off the one-year work stoppage, and so this is October 12th. This is probably game two or game three of a season, and the reason that's important is this is the second or third hockey game Wayne Gretzky's ever coached. So he went from a player in his early 40s, the lockout happened, he came back as coach of the Coyotes, and this is probably the first time he's ever encountered hijinks as hockey royalty and starting out on the job. So he was a major story that now Wayne Gretzky's coaching. What's this even going to be like?
And they lost, right?
They lost. And there were some controversial calls in that game the Coyotes didn't like. So that just added another layer. And Scoops Callahan's going to ask you about what happened in the game. I'm not just here for just doing bits.
Right.
I'm going to ask you about what happened.
You need straight answers.
That's right.
Okay.
So here we are, October 2005, the first ever appearance of 1920s reporter guy.
Power play late in the game let us down, and I thought the first 8 or 9 minutes we weren't very strong beginning of the game. Other than that, played pretty good after that. But start of the game was not great, and the late power plays were horrible, and so we have to address it and be ready to play on Thursday.
Champ, how do you think the Zebras called the show? Do you think they are the cat's meow, or did they give your boys the business?
What?
I mean, any updates on that?
What are you talking about?
Now, what you're about to hear here, after his incredulous what, and then, of course, serious sports guy gets into the real question about whatever guy from Phoenix or something. That
Let me save
really,
this interview.
Yeah. Now, Tom gets the first of what will be many over the years, pull you aside by the PR guy.
What?
I mean, any updates on that?
What are you talking about? What kind of question is that?
I'm just asking about the officials. Yeah, did they do a good job?
You got to ask the right question. Sorry. Sorry, man. You got to ask the proper question.
Oh.
It's not even a proper question.
I was just asking how he thought the officials called the game. Whether they did it.
Then ask that. How did the officials call the game?
Oh.
I don't know what the hell that even was. So I'll see you later.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's a local one.
I'm gonna tell the Stars. Thanks.
Okay, sure.
Ooh, I'm gonna tell the Stars.
I know.
Well, little do you know,
the stars are going to laugh.
The stars are instigating us and telling us,
this is the best bit ever.
I can't believe you're here again.
Grade school?
It's such a language police move. It's not like you asked the guy how his summer was going with his gardening. You asked a hockey question.
Right.
You asked him a question about the game.
The power play.
Right, right.
So if they, hadn't suffered,
I love
your bad calls.
But your response is, I just wanted to.
do you have like 4 or 5 scripts written? Because you went with the one about the zebras, which applied to that game.
Right.
But boy, he was up in that press box, as I recall.
I thought they were coming
I've
up
never
with
seen
days
him
before.
Practice for a bit more.
Yeah, that's basically what I'll do is I'll show up with basically just a bunch of 1920s terms, glossaries of that stuff. And then I'm watching the game and seeing how it tracks and say, okay, what would I ask if I was a reporter at this game? And I'm coming up with the stuff as the game's going on.
Here's the problem.
Jimmy Cagney had a question.
Here's the problem, but it's a really good problem that you created for yourself. You started with Wayne Gretzky, like the greatest hockey player ever. There's no debate about that. He's awesome. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a legend. Now you can't next week go to Blake Sloan or
sorry, Blake.
Guy, right? We have, so now it's great.
This is not a job for Kevin Mensch.
One of the reasons this is a great bit is that you set the bar so high, it's a quick hitty thing. You can do it with one question and you can fill a whole segment with, 30 seconds of audio. You don't know what's going to happen, and it's going to kind of become possibly viral or newsworthy because of who you're doing it with every time. It's one of the best bits, I think, in all of radio history. Seriously,
as I look at this list,
so simple yet,
you could argue every single person on this list is either in the Hall of Fame or is on the brink of being in their Hall of Fame.
Yes, so let's play just a couple more real quick before we hit one
break. Hall of Famer only bit, Tom.
Let's go to the first time.
That's
You've done
so
this
ridiculous.
Guy 3 times or so, but in March of 2006 was the first time that LeBron James ever met Scoops.
65 games in, how would you say your relationship is with Coach Brown and how he's done with the team?
I mean, he knows what I want from the team, and I know what he wants out of us. So we've done a great job of coming together.
Mike Brown talked.
And, making our friendship really good.
Champ, what's the key to hitting on all the sixes tonight and making the boys from Big D yell applesauce?
I have no idea what kind of question that is.
Or horse feathers.
I don't know what you're talking about, boss. Yeah.
He was very tickled.
I thought horse feathers was going to explain it all to him.
I thought that was great.
I found out later from my Cavs friends, who, I know people who work with the Cavs, he loved it.
Oh,
he asked
awesome.
Them about it afterwards, and he
Dude,
wanted
he called
to know
you
more.
Boss. I mean,
yeah.
What greater compliment can one get?
And I was so excited afterwards because I was thinking about Corby's relationship with Shaq. And I thought, this guy.
We're going to be friends.
Yes, me and King James, me and LeBron are going to be buddies. It's going to be awesome.
How about the greatest quarterback in NFL history?
He makes a lot of guys miss. And we saw that on a bunch of third downs today where he's eluding tacklers and getting as many yards as he can. He's a huge part of this offense.
Jam, talk about the long touchdown pass to Dante Stallworth. It looked like you two were doing the jitterbug while the Dallas secondary was doing the Charleston.
Is that right? I don't know what the hell that means, but it was a great route, and it's easy to throw it when he's that wide open.
Tom, you guys
great
had
question.
A lot of fun.
That might be the best one ever.
And
that
he gave
one's
you a,
awesome.
He what, gave you a great question.
What a great question.
Yeah.
With the
I didn't know you ever talked to Joe Montana. That's crazy.
That's Tom Brady, of course. Would the greatest coach in NFL history find you as just as amusing? Here's Bill Belichick.
You know, we weren't necessarily designed to go to anybody. They went to the guy that was open based on the coverage that we played, we saw.
Jim, talk about your B-town offense in the second half. They treated the boys from Big D like a couple of flapper girls who were a little loopy on the old gin and juice.
Next.
So Belichick's response.
Man.
Next.
Now that sounds like he's upset, but he actually smiled. He actually smiled and gave a
so
quiet laugh.
That's as happy as you'll ever hear Bill Belichick.
Pretty much,
is what you're saying.
And I totally butchered that.
They just worked the Cowboys over by 3 touchdowns. He wasn't too mad. The one question I've always had about that, Dan, is when you do that to Tom Brady, they make sure you're not still in there for Belichick. Like, how do you get them both that day?
Actually, Belichick was first.
Okay, well, either way then. If you say a question to Belichick, how do they not get you out of there?
I know. I wondered the same thing. I thought for sure they're going to hit the eject button. But everybody's happy after a win.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy.
Okay. Now, that's after a win. That's in the post-game big press conference room. Here's some giant cojones for you for 1920s reporter guy. In November 2006, the Colts were 9-0. They were quarterbacked by Peyton Manning. Now, later that year, Bob, they would win the Super Bowl. You probably know that.
That's true.
That would be their first Super Bowl. But at the time, the big sports talk narrative was, could this guy ever win the big one? Because they had made the postseason six times in his career up to that point. One and done four times. So Peyton Manning, great, awesome stats. He's thrown a million touchdowns, but then he gets bounced in the first round of the playoffs, was the narrative. This guy can't win the big game. And now this game did nothing to stop that narrative. They were 9-0. They were a freight train. He comes to Dallas and loses on national TV, and it was a huge deal, and now he's pissed.
The pick six, right?
People are questioning his ability. Now they're in the locker room. They're not even at the podium thing separated.
No podium.
We're talking about Tom is like 2 feet away from Peyton Manning. And here it is.
Hopefully be a better football team for Philly next week.
Champ, the Dallas defense gave your boys the 23 skidoo all night long. What were they doing to play like the cat's pajamas?
Hey, Peyton, how badly...
I believe what you heard was a five-second cold stare and no support from his media colleagues as well.
That was terrible.
That was tense, and that was live on TV, as I recall, because I was in my office.
Oh, that's right.
All excited.
That's right. That's right.
Rubbing my hands together.
And the only thing that was going through my mind after that was that I need to get out of here, because I could see on the other side of the scrum the media relations guy starting to make his way around to my side of the locker room.
If he goes left, you go right.
Right. So I was trying to get out of there. I did not want him confiscating my recorder.
This is the Ticket 25 Roundtable with Scoops Callahan, Tom Gribble, the most courageous man ever on this show. And we continue because things get even more heated in Washington, D.C. next.
This is a special Ticket Silver Anniversary Roundtable, sharing stories from a classic moment deep from the 25-year annals of Ticket Lore on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
All right, it is. Hold on, Tom. It's Tom Gribble, ladies and gentlemen, who once again has helped us get way behind on the clock.
That's what I do.
It's a Ticket 25 Roundtables featuring Scoops Callahan, a 1920s reporter guy, one of the favorite things that our show has ever been responsible for, and to claim our show would be perhaps overplaying our role in it. This was
we didn't do anything.
This was Tom and his cojones, and
we would encourage him.
Yeah.
And then say, hey, you go into the, you run into the front line. Go ahead.
right.
We're really into it. We'll play the audio. So in 2008, apparently you veered off a bit. I see you got Paris Hilton. So we stopped doing just big sports stars.
Yeah, she might be the exception on the Hall of Fame rule, but just roll with me on it.
I don't know. Sex tape Hall of Fame for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Roll the deck.
I didn't say it's a good one, but it was one of the early ones that got sex tapes to be a thing.
Okay.
She was one of the Roger Ebert over here.
Yeah, she was clearly one of the pioneers.
They're totally different movies.
All right, so I only mentioned that to say that later that year, so he dipped his toe in the celebrity water with Paris Hilton and then saw Mark Wahlberg would be in town, I think promoting some movie. And now it's important to note, this is October 2008. Boardwalk Empire debuted in 2010, but Mark Wahlberg was one of the producers behind the invention of Boardwalk Empire. You need to know that to understand why Mark Wahlberg is very tickled when he meets Scoops Callahan.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. We're going here to start here. This is the ticket right now. Sorry.
Hey, Helen.
Scoops Callahan from the Ticket, Mark. Welcome to Big D.
What's up, buddy? Well, thank you for waking me up. I like the energy.
No problem. Now, tell me about your new talkie here. A lot of people say it compares to some of the best from Douglas Fairbanks, like the Black Pirate or a Mollycoddle. What do you think?
You're awesome, baby. Where's my Jimmy Cagney? See, this is the kind of era that I love, man. I like old Hollywood. You know, I got caught up in the MTV Hollywood of it all, and so you're bringing me back. Thank God.
Welcome back to the 20s, Mark.
Happy to see it. I love it. We're about to. We need you on our new show, our Boardwalk Empire. Martin Scorsese is directing the pilot. It's about right around Prohibition, the 20s, all the corruption and stuff in Atlantic City. So, come on and do an audition for us, will you?
That's right in my wheelhouse, there. I appreciate it, Mark. There. Let me ask you about your Hotsy Totsy co-star.
Boy, now we're doing.
Tell me
whole,
about
Melee.
You ever put on your glad rags, go to a gin joint, and do the old Lindy hop? Yeah.
No, none of that. But she's a very talented young lady.
She's quite the bear cat, isn't she?
She is.
Well, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
We're not going to stop now.
Oh, he didn't want you to stop. You're like, I'm out.
I literally have no more material.
For DallasVita.com.
Oh, okay, now we've moved on.
He's finishing your questions for you.
I know. He can see.
Lydia.
Yeah. I think he could see the sheet I was working on.
All right, let's go to the... here's another positive reaction, and it was very highly publicized on TNT and ESPN at the time, as I recall. This is April 2009. Greg Popovich. Do you remember this? I'm trying
Coach
to remember
the... Spurs.
No, I know who he is.
Oh.
But the which playoff series we're involved in, I don't know.
2009? That was the year the Mavs beat the Spurs, yeah? With...
So who knows if this after a win or
Ryan
a loss. Or
whatever, the Ryan Hollins series, I think.
I do believe this was after a loss.
Jam.
So it's interesting to note, sometimes, maybe it's after a loss, Tom will wait till the very end. Like, you're not there to ruin people's
right.
stories.
Oh, that's one of my rules, is that you don't want to get in the way of the beat reporters. The beat writers
are the rules.
So you heard a ton of silence
love
there.
Love to hear about these rules.
They're asking, is there anyone else?
Jam, tell me about your fiery Francophile, the Parisian torpedo, Tony Parker. Can he continue to be your main butter and egg man and still croak the boys from Big D?
Am I being punked or something? Next.
Okay. Now you heard he thought it was funny. Am I being punked? I remember the TNT guys talking about it and laughing. ESPN laughed about it, everything, all that. And my memory has, we all just carried Tom off on our shoulders and it was great. When replaying and listening to this audio last night, I discovered this is one of those times that Tom gets pulled aside if we kind of keep listening to his raw audio. He kept rolling. Good job.
Watch out for this guy over
there. He's having fun. He liked it.
Hello.
Come back here and talk to me for a minute.
Sure.
Come back here and talk to me for a minute.
Sound like the happiest guy on the planet, don't it?
Who do you play for?
Sure. Ticket.
Take a look
at
your...
If Tony Parker can still be the main man for the team and still beat the Mavericks.
Yeah, but what we're doing here, we're running an organized press conference. If you have a question,
sure.
I'm going to ask you to ask it in a calm and professional manner. If you have a legitimate question. If you don't have a legitimate question, I'll ask you to leave, okay?
All right, I thought that was a professional question.
Okay, did you hear your tone and your volume is unnecessary? Okay, so stay with me.
All right,
so I'm going to let you stay in here. Pull that again, you'll be asked to leave and you won't come back.
All right, I appreciate it. Sure, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Whoa, you had a talking to there,
yeah,
bro.
Follow me, picking up what I'm putting down. Well, it's pretty straightforward.
That was a dad talk if I've ever heard one.
Hey, follow me. How about tough guy over here?
And I completely forgot about that. That's what's really so funny until. You just mentioned it. I've completely forgot about getting pulled aside by that guy.
All right, let's play That's PR hilarious. Guys pulling Tom aside, though.
Hey, so I'm going to tell you this one time and one time only.
There's no way you forgot about Washington, D.C. when we were on a road trip with the Stars, is there?
No, I remember this in detail.
Okay, and I think I had to enhance. I think Tom must have had his arm outstretched. So it's going to sound a little weird, like it's edited, but it's not. Tom, I just had to pump up the Tom audio because
we all witnessed it live. It's not edited, I can assure you.
This is Ovechkin.
Thank God, I scored finally.
Well, no, it's not finally. I just
and Ovechkin's kind of talking, just having fun with a female reporter
about his
and,
new haircut, as I recall.
Yeah, I mean, yes. They're not even talking about the game. So for them to pull aside Tom eventually is terrible.
Happy, like I didn't score like six games here, so you know, sometimes they just need some lucky goal, lucky bounce, so to put it in. So it's nice.
Haircut, clean shaven, maybe that was the difference.
No. All right.
Champ, that was quite the Lollapalooza out there tonight. You have to say everything is still Jake with you Capital City boys. Do you think you can still keep it going here in this age of ballyhoo?
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. We're going to see.
Thank you, Champ.
Here comes the PR guy.
What was that for?
Yeah. I just wanted to ask him.
I think you guys can go. You guys
Okay, I just meant something out of respect, not to...
Okay, so let me cut it off. But that's,
he's a very good player, so Champ, it actually makes sense, you see.
That guy actually called...
You know, Champ is actually a term of endearment
right, it's
to
not a put
sports
down.
Circles.
That guy actually called...
What do you call him, Champ? He's been bouncing for the first round like seven consecutive years.
We were on a road trip with the Stars. He actually called ahead to Buffalo and banned us from the Buffalo press box as well.
And Buffalo
so,
went for it.
Yeah. They buffaloed us.
Dude.
Two more. I'm sorry we're very late. But
makes me so mad about Nate Ewell.
We got the champ.
Now
I'm
mad at him again.
two more. Let's just end also with Hall of Famers. The final press conference and the final question at the final press conference of a Hall of Famer, Phil Jackson's career. This is right after the Mavs Mother's Day Massacre.
Yep.
On their way to the
Game
title.
Game 4 they, sweep.
And here's the last question ever asked.
But Champ, being a Hall of Famer like the legendary Bonnie, Monty, Mike Cedrin, and having more rings than Douglas Fairbanks, even as Oscars, you have to ultimately take a lot of pride in knowing that you and your cage career were nothing but the bee's knees.
Amen. Thank you very much.
And there he goes. The last thing he ever said publicly. As a head coach in the NBA,
he
was that
said a word since
he hasn't said anything. Now the most famous one ever. Again, I apologize for our lateness for people who just love their breaks on time. It is Phil Mickelson. This is 2008. He just won the Colonial. Tom had been.
In the sun.
I had been drinking.
All day.
Okay. I have a good time. I discovered the party hole, the 13th hole at Old Colonial.
If you've ever seen this video, it's great because Tom runs like he's by himself with Mickelson just in
on the green.
It's awesome.
Champ, was the key to winning today's tournament bringing out the old Billy Baru and sinking those putts like a Tommy gun on Valentine's Day?
Why are you yelling? You're a foot from me.
Scoops Callahan from The Ticket here, Phil. Congratulations.
Thank you, Scoops. It was a fun round, and to birdie the last hole to win by one was an awesome feeling. Scoops.
Thank you, Champ.
Shot from behind the trees.
Oh, now we're going to answer real quick. You know, why are you yelling you're a foot from me has become an iconic thing just to say, right?
Why are you yelling you're a foot from me?
Like, there was a time in ticket history where I think P1 said that all the time.
I don't think I had ever... I didn't remember the Billy Baruth stuff from Caddyshack at all. So I had no idea what you were saying, but luckily Phil had seen Caddyshack enough times.
Thank God, yeah. And he could decipher and pick out everything else. That was all mangled and jumbled because of... I was about six beers in about at that time, so I was feeling pretty good. Pretty good.
What amazing work, Tommy.
Thank you.
It's a legend.
And that's like not even nearly half of what he's done.
Nope. That's Tom Gribble.
Bye.
Jeez, Tom. You don't have to get mad. Actually, yeah, Tom, get really mad.
Yeah. I don't need to put up with your crap, you fat F. I don't need to put up with anything from you or anybody else. You fat mother effer.
You're so important to this.
Bye.
You said you were leaving.
What's on the news?
This is not what you get grandma for her birthday.